where I go, whatever trip I go on, it's always pretty cool to come back to where I live. And that first swim at Boomerang Beach is always very special. So I do think...
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Convos, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast. Let's dive right in. Hey gang, welcome back to the podcast. It's fabulous to be back behind the mic for another season of Convos. To those of you who joined us last year, you'll know exactly what we're all about. For those of you new to the show, really we're just having some fun, interesting conversations with some of the wonderful people who live here on the beautiful mid-coast about themselves and their experiences and what they think makes this place we live so fabulous. So it's really fitting that we're kicking off today with the special guest that we've got, because if anybody has something to compare the mid-coast to, it's Kirk Owers, who is a photographer, an award-winning travel journalist and a man who has spent a lot of time travelling around the world. Kirk, mate, welcome to Convos.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Simon. It's great to be here. It's the first time I've been on this side of a podcast microphone. So, good to have a chat. And, what are we talking about today? The local area or travel, a bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. You're a man who lives the kind of lifestyle that a lot of us can only dream about. So we, at least on the surface, so we're going to scratch the surface of that a little bit.
Sure,
Find out a bit more about that. And then I guess we want to kind of dive into, you know, how does the rest of the world compare to here where we live? What do you love about it? What little tips and hidden secrets have you got for us that even those of us that live here might not have seen or kind of thought about? So we'll have a whole lot of discussion today. But
yeah,
travel journalist, travel writer, travel photographer.
Sure.
And you've seen a lot of the world. What's kind of on the radar for you at the moment, and what have you just been doing? I know we had a quick chat off air.
So I've been very fortunate to do the travel writing thing for, I think it's coming up to actually be 25 years I've been doing it, so quite a long time. It's always been a sort of a side hustle for me. It's not a full-time gig, so and that really works with me, having a family and living in such a great part of the world. I wouldn't want to be travelling and living out of a suitcase all the time, so I feel like I got a really good balance of going away sort of two or three times overseas, that is, and maybe a domestic trip as well, a bit of surfing, a bit of skiing, a bit of other sort of stuff. But I always, no matter where I go, whatever trip I go on, it's always pretty cool to come back to where I live. And that first swim at Boomerang Beach is always very special. So I do think there's lots of beautiful places in the world, but I don't know if there's anywhere else that I'd rather live.
I don't know if you've been having a sneaky little look at my notepad there, but that was definitely one of my questions, is if you weren't here, is there somewhere that you've been that you think, I could see myself living here?
There's lots of places I'd love to live for a short period of time, like even somewhere like New York City. I would love to spend some time there, not just as a tourist, but actually to experience it as a local would see a big city like that. Maybe for a year or something if I, I don't know how I'd make that happen. But and there's lots of, when I was younger, I worked in ski resorts, so I got to live in a ski resort and arrive at the start of the season and see the snow arrive and then see spring arrive, and that was always an amazing thing to do. So in the Rocky Mountains, I've done that a few times, and that was very special. So I could see myself doing a short stint overseas, maybe New Zealand or something. But this is very special, this place, this mid-north coast that we live. And it's also where my family live, and my parents are just down the road, so that's also very important for me as well.
Yeah, for sure. So connection to the area, as you said, family here, you probably raised your kids here, and so there's going to be something really special about that.
Yeah.
But I guess apart from that, what is it, is there anything about, I guess the natural environment, the beaches, like what is it that keeps you coming back here or keeps you grounded here?
It's definitely the beaches. I would say the surf is a big thing for me. I've been surfing all my life, and we're very fortunate that we've got a lot of really good waves in this area. That's probably what drew me to the Pacific Palms area initially. As I've got older though, and the surf's got a lot busier, it's less important, I suppose, and I'm more finding other things about the area that I enjoy. So. For example, paddleboarding on the lake is something I used to find very boring, and I would never do that on a weekend. But yeah. I've actually done quite a bit of that of late, and it's amazing how beautiful just being out on the lake is some days on those really beautiful autumn days. And it's so relaxing, whereas the surf can be a bit can get a bit stressful at times when it's really busy and there's a lot going on. You get out on the lake and it's lovely.
Yeah, I guess we need to, like, we all have these sort of preconceived ideas about the things that we want to do and what our expectations might be. But for somebody who doesn't live here, so somebody who's visiting the area, for example, it's really important for them to kind of come with a bit of an open mind. Sure, they'll come because they wanted to see our beaches or our waterways or whatever it might be. Mm. But it's really important for people to keep an open mind when they come and visit, hey, because they might just uncover something, like you said, that they weren't expecting.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Australians, we cling to the coast. It's for good reason because, you know, it's a hot country. And but yeah, there's a whole green band that, you know, that's worth checking out. You know, the hinterland, and we like to go up to Gloucester for a little day trip or an overnight trip, and have a swim in the river up there, and do some hiking and things like that. So if you're into your fishing, there's awesome fishing all around the area in the ocean and the lakes. Yeah, so there's more than just surfing, Simon.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very it's a complex area that we live in.
Yeah.
I want to sort of talk about some of your travels for a minute, and just talking about, you know, preconceptions and, you know, going somewhere with an expectation in your mind and it's not quite how you thought it would be, you know, either good or bad. Mm. Can you think of an example, like, where that's happened when you've travelled overseas, where you've got somewhere and you've thought, this is so not what I thought it was going to be?
Yeah. Actually, I did a story about that recently. I mentioned when we're off air that I did a trip to Louisiana and Mississippi and Tennessee, so the deep south of America. Mm. And, you know, I was a little bit nervous about going over there, particularly the way politics is at the moment, the way America is at the moment. Mm. And so... yeah, I guess I had this expectation that it was going to be a lot of, MAGA merch everywhere and a lot of sort of craziness in the streets and everything. And it wasn't like that at all. And in fact, like, New Orleans is very multicultural. It's a very progressive city, even though it's in a very conservative state of America. It's actually very progressive. And so there was lots of cool stuff happening down there in New Orleans, which I found fascinating. And and just the people were really friendly, even up in Mississippi. I met some really lovely people and people that have different, you know, perspectives on the world. And I learned a lot. I think it really opened my mind, for sure.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Mm. So I guess from outside, as you said, there's a lot of talk about what's happening in the US and their politics and, you know, we don't need to go too deep into it. But do you think that that's amplified in what we see?
Because, absolutely. We sort of see the worst things that are happening, you know. There's lots of days and lots of people that are really lovely and nothing much is happening, so it doesn't make the news. You know, the news is always, you know, about the bad things that are happening. Totally. But America's a lot more divisive than it's been for a long time, and I think that's reflected in the media. I think travelling, one of the good things about travelling is it sort of broadens the mind and you hopefully learn, you know, other perspectives. I'm really glad that I went on that trip.
Yeah, you're very, well, I don't know. I guess a lot of people say to you, oh, you're lucky to have such a lifestyle, but it's probably not a lot of luck involved, is it? It's probably been quite intentional.
For sure. It's a very competitive industry. A lot of people want to, you know, be travel writers. So even to get a story looked at when you're starting out is hard. I I guess I got lucky. Well, I don't know if luck's the right word, but I won a travel writing competition when I was fairly young, and that was with Lonely Planet, and I won 2 flights to Buenos Aires, and so that sort of, it was a good way to start basically, and it looked good in the resume having that.
For sure.
But yeah, it's definitely something I've had to work at, and you know, I always feel that you're only as good as your last story, so it's something you have to continually be on your game and be improving, otherwise, you know, the next young person's going to take you near the next trip. So.
Yeah, so you constantly feel like they're sort of nipping at your heels.
Yeah, definitely. It's tightening. You know, the magazine industry, as you know, is tough, and the print industry is tough, and media is changing constantly. There's a lot more sort of social media influencers out there now, I'm noticing on these trips, rather than just travel journalists.
Absolutely.
So, so that's a big change in the industry. So, yeah, you've got to be constantly on your game for sure.
Yeah, and everything's so visual now too, particularly with, you know, some of the social media apps, the video apps like Shorts on YouTube and TikTok especially, and everything is so visual, and so you kind of almost have to have a particular aesthetic. And if you've got that, then you don't – am I right in thinking you don't need a lot of other skills? You know, if you're – yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery how it all works. The influencer world. I did a trip to Thailand. Was it last year? Last year, and it was mainly influencers, and they were from all around the world, from London and New York, and they were, you know, had like 5 million followers. But I still don't know exactly how they get to that point. But
something just blows up.
Yeah, something just goes off. They were all involved in the movie industry, so that was part of it. I'm not really in that world, so.
So you've travelled to some big cities. You've also travelled to, you know, some beautiful sort of Pacific islands and coastal areas. Again, expectation versus reality. We often see the beautiful side of these places that we all visit, but is there another side as well? Like, do you go, you visit places, you write, you do your stories, but then you see things and you think, the world really needs to see this because it's not in the travel brochure.
What is in terms of bad things or good things?
Yeah, no, bad things, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I'm constantly thinking about when you're travelling. I did Bali, for example, you know, I've been there many times over the years and seen it change and... not for the better, I would say, in general. I mean, there's some lovely, beautiful hotels and all the rest of it, but it's just, the last time I was there, I was just blown away how much time we just spent in traffic and just talking to the local people, and I'm not sure that the benefits or this tourism dollars is going directly to the locals, or I think a lot of it's going to international companies. And, I just felt like that tourism... initially it was probably benefiting the island, but now it's probably going the other way and having a detrimental effect. But then again, so many people rely on tourism for their jobs and their incomes over there, so it's a very complicated situation. I probably not going to go back to Bali myself just because I've been there so many times. Mm-hmm. There's other places I want to see. I still think you can have a great holiday there. I've had some friends went there recently, had an amazing time with their family.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a downside to it for sure.
Yeah. I guess that's one of the things that makes it nice to come home because, you know, for us, I guess we're very fortunate in the country and the area that we live in that, you know, it's mostly pretty positive here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's a few locals down at the Palms that have a few questions about all the development going in around the Palms.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, the world's getting bigger and, so there's more and more houses going in everywhere, I guess.
Yeah. You mentioned that particularly around some of, you know, the overseas places you visited, that the locals rely heavily on tourism for their income. That's not so different to where we are. We're very heavily sort of tourism focused in here. So I guess with the world changing the way that it is, it's a really good opportunity for people to stay local, holiday local, and rather than kind of going overseas on those trips, make a trip up here
to the
beautiful mid-coast. You would have seen with some of your overseas work coming back that we have a lot of the same beautiful places beautiful opportunities that they do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was in the surf just the other day and the water was just that crystal clear green sort of colour that it gets around here at this time of year. And, you know, people were saying, oh, it's like Tahiti, isn't it? And
you love Tahiti.
And I've been to Tahiti and yeah, Tahiti's beautiful. But, yeah, it's a fair comparison, like just talking about the water, the clarity of the water and how – and even the amount of marine life we get around here. You know, you can see turtles around here. You know, we get seals sometimes. Lots of dolphins. I think I see dolphins almost every day. Whales when they're coming past. So yeah, you're right. You don't need to go overseas if you're after a beach holiday. I think here is as good as anywhere in the world, really.
And it's unbelievable, isn't it? I love that you're talking about that crystal clear water. We were at One Mile Beach just a couple of days ago, and the sky was blue, and the sun was out, and the water was warm, and it was absolutely crystal clear, and there was almost nobody on the beach, the whole of One Mile Beach. I shot video, I posted it. There's almost nobody there.
Yeah.
And in that crystal clear water, maybe 50 metres off the shore, were dolphins playing in the surf. Like, it sounds like a movie, and people are like, come on, you're amping it up a bit. And seriously, not. Like, these are the thing, and it's not that uncommon. I guess that's the thing. So, you know, I guess you would see that and compare that to overseas and think, we've just got everything right here.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's always little things that are different. You know, culturally it's nice going to some of these Polynesian islands and they've got, you know, Tahiti's pretty spectacular. It's got sort of these big volcanic sort of dramatic peaks on the island that look pretty cool.
Yeah.
But in terms of surf and fishing and snorkeling, we're pretty spoilt around here.
Yeah, we are. So, question without notice for you as a photographer.
Yeah.
Capturing that moment, like particularly being able to show on film how beautiful and perfect and crystal clear that water is, any tips for people who are travelling and think, oh, I've got to show my friends and my family back home just how beautiful this is? Any little tips? Because I found it really difficult to actually show that, like how clear the water is, particularly when you're photographing.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's something that I haven't done for a while because I don't do landscape photography. It'd be something you should ask Kean from Raw Edge because he's very much a specialist in that area. Mm. But I know, for example, that he is very particular about the days he even takes his camera out. Like he waits for those 10 out of 10 days when the water is just immaculate. There's not like a scrap of weed and it's perfectly clear. And then it's all to do with the time of the day too. Often for landscape photography, you're either shooting early in the morning or late in the day. But I think with water clarity, you probably want the sun pretty high up in the sky. So you don't want to be doing it too early to get that real clarity if that's what you're after. So probably the middle of the day, but just picking your day, I think, and then just experiment. Take heaps of photos.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here, people. Yeah. Hot tip. So we've mentioned a couple of the local beaches. Boomerang, One Mile. What are some of the other ones that are your particular favourites and why would that be?
Well, I don't want to give away any secret
none of your secret spots.
Actually, there's probably a few secret spots we won't even mention. But Boomerang. I live at Boomerang and since we only moved there, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, and I've got a bit lazy because I can walk from my house to Boomerang, so that's my go. That's my go-to, yeah. So, I still enjoy walking into Sandbar, Solito there at north end of Sandbar Beach. That's a beautiful little rainforest walk. All along 7 Mile, if you want to get away from the crowd, so you can just sort of pick a little spot along 7 Mile on a nice day with a westerly wind and you'll have a little section of the beach to yourself for sure. Elizabeth, it's probably the most family friendly beach. And that's beautiful when the wind's coming from the south, but it does get busy.
Yeah, of course. And certain times of the year, you know, there's at holiday time we're always busy.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't mind that. It's nice to get that little hit of energy. You go to the beach and it's like Bondi around Christmas time and it's just very different. And I don't mind that for just for a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You touched earlier on the development, the growth in our area. And along with that can often come, you know, a bit of dissatisfaction from particularly people who've lived here for a long time. But it comes with its benefits too, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we're starting to see some really nice little places pop up, our cafes, restaurants, you know, the options that we've got that are there right throughout the year. You've been here for sort of 25 years, you said. What have you seen kind of change?
Not quite 25 years. I'm just thinking 21 years actually. Yeah. But sorry, what was the question?
We've seen some changes in, you know, the kind of restaurants and the kind of cafes that we've got around the place. And so that development that happens, it brings with it some positives too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. I think we'll have to wait and see with these new developments. I think the concern is that there's so many going in all at once. I think there's four or five going in a very small area. And I think the concern is that the council is not adding extra parking or putting in the infrastructure that we're going to need. So I think that's a big concern. If we get a few more cafes out of it, I don't know. I don't know if we necessarily need too many more cafes. We've got some lovely cafes already. But, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people there that are going to wait and see how it pans out over the next sort of 5 years.
Yeah. Mm. Good point about the infrastructure. Definitely needs to keep up with the pace of development.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So for those who are visiting the area, even the locals, have you got a favourite spot for a coffee?
Asking
you to pick your favourite.
Yeah. my son works at Drift, so I'll say Drift Cafe at Bluey's Beach there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, nice one.
But I also like the new one at Tiana there. That's kind of nice here in the shade and the trees. Have you been there yet?
I haven't been to that one yet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, that's fairly new.
Yeah. Good, I think, to recognise, especially for the people who are coming from out of town, that not everything is always going to be sort of in the middle of Foster or in the middle of Tuncurry. We live in quite a big, beautiful region, and there's lots of little hidden sort of nuggets of gold, aren't there?
Yeah, like up at Diamond Beach up there at Halliday's. Mm. There's some, I often sneak up there to get away if it's a busy weekend around here. There's often less people on the beaches and in the surf up there.
Yeah.
And, it is a big area for sure.
So we've talked a bit about our beaches, our beautiful waterways. And you can't kind of talk about that, and you can't talk about swimming at the beach without talking about sharks. And they've been in the news a little bit lately. But you were recently involved, or had a friend who was involved, with a documentary.
Yeah, so Brett Bircher is his name. Yeah, he's a good friend. And, I was with Birch when he got buzzed by a shark at 1 Mile Beach. It was, was it 2 years ago? Roughly 2 years ago. And I was with one of my Fresh Tracks clients, Noah, who happened to have his drone right above it when it happened. So we got some incredible footage of the incident. And, Brett decided he wanted to do a documentary about sharks and really just look into the science of it and try and get some more information out there, because, as you say, it's been in the news and on people's minds, the whole shark situation. So he's got funding for the documentary. I think it's called Beyond the Tideline. It's filming currently, and I'll be due for a release sometime next year. And in the meantime, he's also working on podcasts, a series of podcasts all about sharks as well. So, yeah, really keen to get some information out there to the public.
Yeah, I think there's a few people who do that. There's a few people on social media who you can follow. Ocean Ramsey, I think, is one of the sort of big influencers in that space, trying to bust some of those myths. Mm. But having lived here for a while, have you had your own shark experience at all?
Nothing too crazy. I've definitely seen a few sharks and got out of the water. Recently I got out of the water, I thought it was a shark, but it turned out to be a dolphin just sort of thrashing around. I definitely have had anxieties about sharks. It seems to come and go with me. When they're in the media or when there's been an incident in the area, then they're definitely on my mind, and, you know, a lot of surfers are talking about them. So I actually like not talking about them and not thinking about them, because I kind of feel that they're kind of there all the time. Mm, There's not a lot you can do, and it's a very small risk, so you just got to try and not think about them is how I approach it.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, isn't it? It's education. You know, it's just making sure that we realise that there's no kind of great risk. They're always there. They always have been there. We probably just see them a little bit more now because everyone's got a drone.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I do think that specifically the great white shark is definitely seems to be coming back since it's been protected. But it's very hard to have accurate numbers. It's a very hard thing to do. So, but certainly we're seeing a lot more of them.
Yeah. So, mate, what's coming up for you? Any exciting trips planned on the horizon?
Not really. I don't really get to plan a lot of these trips. I just get asked along on trips that other people are organising. So usually I just get an email, are you available and do you want to go on this trip, and it's in 2 months' time. So, so at this stage I've got nothing coming up, but I'm hoping I'll get a lovely email sometime soon. I'm hoping to get over to Canada or Japan next year and do some more snowboarding. My son's very keen to work in a ski resort, so hopefully I'll go over and visit him somewhere. My wife is very keen to go hiking in New Zealand, so we might do that at some point this year, see what happens.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
And so if people are keen to have a bit of a look at some of your work, where are they likely to find it?
I don't really sort of sell any photos or anything like that anymore. So my main focus is with wedding photography, and then I have my personal Instagram account, I guess, and Facebook, where I post some stuff when I'm away on these cool trips. And I might stick up the occasional surf photo from around locally. But probably Instagram and Facebook it would be the best place to sort of see what I'm up to.
Yeah, cool. We'll make sure that all your links are included in the show notes so people can find them.
Cool.
And you've been doing a little bit of writing, I think, for Lifestyle Barrington Coast magazine.
Yeah, yep, that's right, yep.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody keep an eye out for the next edition of Lifestyle Barrington Coast. And so just finally, before we wrap up, if somebody's thinking about coming and having a visit up here on the mid-coast, one tip for them, one place that they absolutely can't miss, what would that be? Kirk Owers' travel tip for the mid-north coast.
The mid-north coast.
You on the spot.
Goodness me. I think probably a special thing to do is to do a little walk from the south end of Seven Mile Beach. It's called Booty Booty, and you can walk from the beach through the rainforest to the lake, and it's a really short distance. And I think the high school kids used to do it as part of a geography excursion, and because you see a lot of changes from the beach to the rainforest to the lake, and it's kind of what we're sort of renowned for, I guess, having the lake so close to the ocean is quite unique, and having little pockets of rainforest. So I would say check that out.
Yeah, that's a great one. So they can see the ocean, they can see a little bit of the greenery as well, and the lake, everything all in one spot.
And it's like a 10-minute walk.
Yep. Like a true, true Barrington Coast experience.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. Mate, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing your story with us on Convos. It's been a pleasure having you.
No worries. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Simon.
Well, that's it, gang. That was Kirk Owers. We will make sure that all of his details are in the show notes if you want to read some of his travel stories and just follow his travel journeys. Everybody, thanks for joining us on Convos, and we'll see you again on the next episode.